with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We hit on this some Wednesday, but I want to just bring this back in. Galatians 3:26 says this. It says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now let me just stop real quick here and highlight. Notice that it says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So if you are a born-again child of God, then that means you had faith that Jesus Christ died on a cross, was placed in a tomb, and on the third day He rose again. You have that faith and you've made Him Lord of your life. And when you did that, you became a child of God. So your faith in Jesus is what makes you a child of God. Now, I understand that we've all been created by God, but now you're in the family of God. You're not just in the earth. God created you. He formed you in the belly of the womb before, you know. But here's the thing. In order to be in the family of God, you have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So when you by faith accept Jesus Christ, then it says you become a child of God. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you that have put on or have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That promises the promises over in Genesis chapter 12. So what Paul's trying to get across to the Galatians is this, that every one of us are seen as the same by God. Okay, notice here that he says, you know, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's male nor female. God doesn't see us that way. God sees us as His children. See, now men, we try to label folks, right? You know, we'll try to label this person or that person. And, you know, a lot of folks in the churches, they look down on women like, you know, that they're not supposed to be doing anything in the church. But if you study the Word of God, you find that women had a very active role in the Word of God. Amen. Why? Because God can use anybody that will allow Him to use them. If you make yourself available, God will use you because He needs you to be His hands and His eyes and His mouth here on this earth. So he says we're all the same because we've been born into the Lord Jesus Christ. When we got born again, it put us all on the same level. When God looks at one of us, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's what made us children of God. Now, I want you to go over with me. We're going to today just kind of do some reading because I want us to see some things from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would go there. Now, I want to read to you from the New Living Testament because it just puts it over into English a little bit better for you to understand. Because as Paul talks about the body of Christ and our bodies, in the King James, it's just a little bit different as the way he words it makes it a little harder to understand. But New Living Testament helps you some. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, "The human body has many parts, but the parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not a hand, what that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. See, he's trying to get us to see this picture, how that we're all one in Christ and how that we're all part of the body. You know, and I like when he starts talking about the lesser parts or the smaller parts and the parts that we don't think are as important. As Pastor Etten, I think she mentioned it here a few services ago, but in our garage going in where we keep our vehicle parked at, I had bought back in the springtime a bag of sand for the pool, and I just kind of laid it in between the doors there. And Pastor Ett came into the garage, and she had her sandals on. And as she walks in, now Pastor Ett doesn't have normal toes like most of us. Where's she at? Pastor Ed can take her toes and go like that. Can anybody else in here do that? Can you take your toes and make them go like that? Miss Tiana can do that. I can't. My toes are like this. You know, I mean, I kind of pull them apart to wash them, you know. But she could do that. So when she walks a lot of times, her toes are out like this. And so she comes walking in the garage with those sandals. And all of a sudden I hear her go, oh. I said, what's going on? I caught my toe on that bag of sand. She caught her little toe on the bag of sand. Now, man, she took a fit. I think we're on our way up here. She had a fit all the way up here. She got home. She said, I think my toe's broke. And I've been hearing about that toe ever since. You know why? Because that toe is affecting the rest of her body. When she puts on a shoe, you know, she's just like, that's making it worse. You know, why? Because even though it's the little toe of her body, it's making her whole body hurt. Amen. You see, and that's what Paul's trying to get across. Every part of your body is important and necessary. If one part hurts, then it makes the whole part hurt, right? Pastor Ed had a hard time getting comfortable even sitting down because that little toe was hurting. Depending on what position she put it in, it hurt. You know, I told her, I said, you got to tape two of them together. That did help her some, but it still hurt, she said. You know, it's getting much better. She's a whole lot better now. She's walking without limping with it. So, you know, it has eventually. And guess what? The whole body's glad about that. And this body's glad about that. You know, happy wife, happy life, you know. But I just want you to see that. See, that's what he's trying to tell. So when you bring that over into the spiritual realm, all of us are part of the body of Christ. If one of us is hurting, everybody's hurting. If one's in trouble, everybody's in trouble. And we have to see that because that's the way God designed it, that we are supposed to be loving one another and praying for one another, lifting one another up. See, the trouble is, sometimes the church is too much like the world. We'd rather gossip about one of our brothers and sisters than pray for them and lift them up. But you've got to understand something, folks. If one person in the body of Christ fails, it looks bad on the whole body. Well, they used to go to church. They don't go to church anymore, you know. Right? Come on. Some of you probably may have said something like that before. You know, so it matters. We want to make sure that everybody fails. You know, some churches are against other churches. You know, and they want to see other churches fail. And for the life of me, I don't understand that. We're all brothers and sisters. Now, we may all believe a little different or whatever, but the main thing is that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on a cross, was placed in a tomb, rose again on the third day. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. And if you believe that, then we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. It don't matter what this says over the door. That ain't got anything to do with it. That's all man-made anyway. You know. Some folks say, well, I'm a Baptist like John was a Baptist. John was called John the Baptist because John baptized people. Wouldn't cause he had a denomination back then. But, you know, folks get hung up. Sometimes the church is worse than politics. You know, if you're not part of my denomination, then I ain't got nothing to do with you. Right? It happens, but you see, that's just simply not true. Every one of us that believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and has accepted Him as our Savior, we're all brothers and sisters. Now, with that said, a lot of folks think that what's going on in Israel don't have anything to do with us. I've kind of talked about that a little bit. But go with me over to Romans chapter 11. And let's just read just a little bit here in Romans chapter 11. Let's go to verse 17. This whole thing you might want to back up and you just read it, because Paul's talking about how God rejected Israel because they would not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He accepted us because they would not believe. And then it made a way for us to come in to the family of God. So let's pick up verse 17. It says, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee." You know what he just said? He said that you and I shouldn't be boasting against Israel or talking about Israel because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ originally. We were able to come in, so their branch was cut off. Ours was grafted in, but it's still in the same God. See, we believe in the same God. Okay? You've got to understand now, they were brought up under the old law, and so, you know, there's some things going on here. It says, "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off the olive tree which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away godliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Now, I don't know how much of that you really understood, but basically here's what God says. They rejected me, so I accepted you into the family of God. When they get to the point where they accept me, I'll accept them back in to the family of God. I'm doing this up until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Once the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, it's Israel's time. Notice he said, "And all of Israel will be saved." When you start reading the Revelations, you have the angels and 144,000 Jews that are preaching to the children of Israel, because God will not allow His people, His chosen people, to go in unbelief. They're going to believe. He said they'll all be saved. They are that remnant. They are the elect. They are His chosen people. He promised Abraham, and all the way up through the lineage till now, the children of Israel are God's chosen people. Okay, so you need to see that. So it here's what I'm saying to you about this. They're just as much a part of the body as we are. Matter of fact, probably more so, because they're reserved for God. They're His chosen people. And a lot of folks are, you know, they just act like, you know, well, that don't mean nothing to us. We're Americans. And, you know, but if you're a child of God, it means something. Actually, it means something to the world, whether they know it or not. But us as a body of Christ, we got to realize what's happening to them affects us. This is I know there's a natural war going on, but I promise you in the heavenlies, there's a spiritual war going on like you wouldn't believe. The demonic forces are out. I mean, come on, folks. What kind of person could put a bullet through a 3-year-old's head and cut it off? What kind of person could put a baby in a bird cage? I'll tell you what kind of person. One possessed with the devil. It ain't nothing but the devil at work. So you've got to understand, the same devil that's working over there, same devil that's working over here. Same demonic spirits that are working over there, working in here. They're in the White House. They're working. I'm telling you something. Okay? So we got to understand that it affects us. It affects us. Let me give you a little illustration. There was a mouse on a farm. And the mouse discovered that the farmers had put out a mouse trap. So he goes out to the chicken. He says, "Hey, listen, man. I found out they put out a mousetrap. They're after me, man. They want to catch me. They got a mousetrap out for me." And the chicken says, "Well, you know, I mean, I'm with you, man." But he said, it's not a chicken trap. Ain't got nothing to do with me." And so the mouse leaves the chicken and he goes over to the pig. He says, "Listen, I found out they've got a mousetrap set for me. If you'll help me, we'll try to get rid of this thing. I need your help to get rid of it." And the pig says, "You know, brother, I love you. You know, I'm here for you, but it's not a pig trap. It ain't got nothing to do with me." And so the mouse, you know, he's disappointed, and he goes over to the cow, and he says to the cow, he says, "Listen, you guys have got to help me. There's a mouse trap in there, and they're trying to catch me and do away with me. And if you help me, we get together." And the cow says, "You know, man, I love you. You know, I got you back. You know, I'm with you, but it's not a cow trap. It ain't got nothing to do with me." So you know, the mouse, he leaves. And a few nights later, a venomous snake gets in the house and gets its tail caught in the mouse trap. And the farmer's wife gets up in the middle of the night, and she's going to the refrigerator to get something out of the refrigerator. And she don't know the snake's caught up in the trap. And when she goes in there, the venomous snake bites the farmer's wife. And the farmer's wife gets deathly ill. Oh, well, you know, the first thing you get sick is you got to have some chicken soup. So the farmer killed the chicken for chicken soup. There goes the chicken. And then she just kept getting worse and worse. And so she gets bedfast. And so people start coming to help out the farmer, and you know, they're coming over early in the morning, and the farmer says, I've got to have something for breakfast. So he needs some bacon and he needs some sausage, and there goes the pig. And so as it goes on, eventually it killed the farmer's wife. She died from the poison. Of course, they've got to have a wake. They've got to have a funeral. There's going to be lots of people over there, and they need to kill the cow to feed the people. See, the moral of the thing is this, that we're all in this thing together, and you might not think it affects you, but it does. Maybe not in the way you think. It wasn't a pig trap. It wasn't a chicken trap. It wasn't a cow trap. It was just a mouse trap. The mouse trap, as far as I know, the mouse is still alive. But everything else that rejected is dead. See, I want you to see that. That's the way it is with us. Just because somebody's going through something and you're not affected by it, don't mean you can't be affected by it. We're all in the same body, so it affects us all. When something happens to somebody in this church, it affects the whole church. Right? You know, we can lose a member. We've lost a few. You know, you say, well, that was that family. But no, see, because we're all the same family. It affects us all. I still miss those that we've lost. There's times I start thinking about them. I think, man, how I would love to be around them again. You know, I'm still affected by it. And some of you are still affected by it. So you've got to understand this, church, that everything is based upon the fact that God wants us to be loving one another and praying for one another, and not just in this body, this local church, but in the whole body of Christ. God designed the body for us to help one another. That's the way He designed it. Now let me go over here and show you here. In First John chapter 3, if you want to, just jump over here with me real quick. Look what it says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own words were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." Notice what he says here. He says, God loves us so much that Jesus lays down his life for us. And we're supposed to love one another the same way God loves us. Think about that one for a minute. You see, God can command that because He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God has placed us in this unique place to where we're in a body of believers, and not just a body of believers, but the family of God. Do you realize that you are the body of Christ? The body of Christ. He's the head. We're the body. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I love my body and my parts of my body. Come on. I don't look in the mirror and go, woo, you know, but I love them. Right? Yeah, as a matter of fact, sometimes I look in the mirror and go, ah! But I still love them. Right? You know, I've noticed as I've gotten older, there's some skin hanging down under my arms. You know, so when I try to be a muscle man, then just like, look like Popeye before he had spinach. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about right there, do you? But I still love myself. You see, you have to love yourself. Oh, come on, don't act like that. That's why you make over yourself. You ladies love yourself. That's why you're in the mirror going. Right? You men, you love yourself. That's why every now and then you just get up to the mirror and go. Right? Oh, come on now. You know, it don't matter if you're like that or what. I mean, that's just who we are. Well, see, we're supposed to love this body, the body of Christ, the same way. Sure, there's some people that are pretty unlikable, right? Even in the body of Christ, there's some people that just yick you. Yeah. Amen. Can we just be truthful now? You know, there's some people that I don't want to hang out with, but they're still in the body of Christ, and I love them because they're brothers and sisters in the Lord, but that don't mean we're going to be, right? We're not probably not going to be besties, right? But I'll still love and respect them because they're my brother, my sister, in the body of Christ. And so God's telling us, listen, no matter what you think of somebody else, and maybe I don't know how you feel, maybe you think bad about the Jews, I don't know, but they're still your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we have to love them because God loves them. Amen. So I just wanted today to just for us to just get a picture not only of them in the body with us, but also us being in this body together, that we're watching out for one another. When you hear rumors and somebody says something, realize that that's what it is. Come on, people love to run with tails and all the kind of, but without proving anything out. You know, see, and that's part of the spirit that's in this country right now. Calling people guilty before they're ever proven guilty. See, our country was set up that you're innocent till proved guilty, but that's all kind of changing now. They because of things that are going on, and because the devil's losing that game, he wants to change the rules of that game. But you know what? God hasn't changed His rules. God still plays by the Word of God. He'll never separate Himself from the Word because He can't be separated from it. God is His Word. His Word is God. And it's forever settled. So when He tells us to love one another, when He tells us to be part of the body of Christ and be examples in the body of Christ, then that's what He wants us to do. Folks, your example out there might be something that turns somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? The way you conduct yourself. The way you act. I had no idea. Tim and I were down at Lowe's in Moorhead getting some stuff early one morning. And I had no clue. You know, we just going through and getting our stuff. And guy walks over to Tim. He says, "Is Mike Tackett with you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I know a guy goes to his church." And he said, Tim said, "Who is it?" He said, "James Lee Montgomery." He said, we was big buddies in high school." He said, "I thought that was him." Now, I'm saying that because of this, not because of James Lee or anything, but because he knew who I was. And I had no clue who he was. Later on, I introduced myself to him, shook hands with him and stuff like that. But here's the thing. What I want to say is, what if I was having a bad day that day? What if I was aggravated that day and maybe, you know, acting bad? That guy would have seen me acting bad and immediately passed a judgment call. And he probably should have. I'm telling you that people are watching you everywhere. And we need to make sure that we're doing what we should do as the body of Christ and as believers in Christ Jesus. Living that life before them so that they can see that. And by all means, if a mouse comes and asks you to help, probably be a good idea for you to help. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord God, for this body that you've placed us in, this family that you've placed us in, Lord. And God, we ask right now, Father God, that you help us to see that and always remember who we are and whose we are. I ask you, Father God, if there's one here today, Father, that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that today will be the day that they decide, you know what? I'm going to make Jesus Christ my Lord. I want to go to heaven. I want to be ready when Jesus comes and gets His people. I want to be part of that great catching up that's going to take place. Father, I pray that you deal with their hearts, God, and today will be the day they make Jesus their Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness toward us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning, you need Jesus in your life, you're here, you want to rededicate your life, you're here that you just want to know that you know that you're on your way to heaven, I want you to come. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I want you to know we love you. We appreciate you. Anybody here, you say, "That's me. I want to know that I know I'm ready for the heaven."